Welcome to Family Talk with your hosts, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Thanks for making the time to be with us here today on Family Talk. We think you'll be glad you did, because today we're going to talk about the practical, timeless marriage advice my dad, Dr. Dobson, wrote about in his classic book, Love for a Lifetime.
And Ryan, you say that they're timeless. That is so true. And yet, how often do we really return to the basics? I know I need to be reminded.
All the time. You know, Luann, it is so easy to lose sight of the simple principles found in Scripture. But today, we're going to focus on them. And from what I'm hearing as I travel around, people are desperate for this kind of information they can implement and make their marriages better today.
Well, that's why we're returning to this series, Ryan. It's actually one we brought to our listeners and featured here on Family Talk back in the early days, back in May of this year. But we've discovered that the releases of Family Talk on radio stations has increased by about 50%. We're on a couple hundred more outlets right now. So I'm sure there's someone listening today who did not catch this the first time. And if not, they're in for a treat.
Well, let's get to it. Here's my dad, Dr. James Dobson, sharing the practical principles needed to create a love for a lifetime.
Well, let's pick up where we left off last time with kind of an overview sentence or statement. We were talking about the challenges that all marriages face, and that it is not easy to live together and love together and be married together for a lifetime. That is an achievement. And if you're going to accomplish it, you're going to have to be determined to do it, and you're going to have to deal with whatever life throws at you, and it will come at you.
Well, why are we surprised? I mean, a phrase you like to say a lot is we are incredibly human.
Yeah.
And yet we're always surprised when we struggle or when we fail. I mean, Steve married a sinner, so he has to realize that I'm not going to do it right all the time.
Well, and neither is he.
Yeah.
So that's where we were last time. But the good news is that marriage was not our idea. It was not a man's idea. It was not a woman's idea. It was ordained by the Creator in the Garden of Eden. It was His gift to us. And it was mentioned for the first time in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Didn't take him long to get to that issue. And we read in Genesis 2:24, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." See, much of the popular culture has lost complete sight of that ordination. They don't understand it at all because many of them are not in the Bible and never even read it. But you can hear their philosophy, their view of marriage every day on television. You can't get away from it. You know, they're saying that marriage is just an outmoded and anachronistic custom that's designed by Christians, and it really needs to be abandoned. And they make this whole case for the fact that traditional marriage is dead. It's motivated largely by the homosexual community, but not all of it comes from there. A lot of heterosexual people believe that too, but they're wrong. Marriage was the first institution that God gave to mankind. It predates the government and it predates the church. Mm-hmm. Those are the three institutions that God has given us: marriage, government, and the church. And marriage was the first one. There must be a reason for that. It has that kind of importance in His scheme of things. As such, it has flourished on six continents in diverse cultural settings for more than 5,000 years, all the way back to the beginning of recorded history. And many of us think all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Homosexual relationships have at times been very pervasive in countries such as in Sodom and Gomorrah and in Greece and in Rome and in other places. They are flourishing now to some degree in Scandinavian countries. But marriage has always been the primary institution for human beings. Only recently has there been a movement to call homosexual relationships marriage. Mm-hmm. There are those among us who intend to throw the exclusivity of traditional God-inspired marriages, one man and one woman. They want to throw that on the ash heap of history. And God help us if we do, because this is His plan for us.
And quite honestly, Doctor, even to hear you talking about the effect of homosexual activism in marriage, I think I was, I don't know if I want to admit this, but I think I was an adult before I really understood homosexuality or was really confronted with it. And now I've got my 12-year-old who I drive him to school and it's on bumper stickers and it's on billboards. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you the number of times that it breaks my heart. I have to break his innocence to even explain a comment that's been on the news or something. And, well, Robbie, that's what this means.
Luann, in the state of California, they start teaching it in kindergarten.
Oh, gosh,
you've got these 5-year-old kids who know nothing about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they come off to school. They are these wobbly-legged little kids carrying lunch pails. And they get in there, and a representative of the state, the teacher with all the dignity that can be invested in her, stands in front of 25 kids mm-hmm. and puts them on the floor, and they sit cross-legged while she tells them about adult perverse behavior. Mm. If that isn't the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life, mm-hmm. and yet it is law there and to a large degree in Massachusetts and other places, and it amounts to homosexual propaganda. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't intend to get into all this, but it is highly relevant because it's why marriage is under attack and why the definition of marriage is likely to change if we're not careful, because we've got a Congress full of people that believe this, and the court system largely believes it. So traditional marriage is under attack, and we've got to preserve it because it's the ground floor. It's the foundation. Everything in society fits on that. Our children, mm-hmm. our institutions, our government, our way of life, our value system, all of it rests on the stability of that family. And you undermine that ground floor, mm-hmm. and you weaken it, and you change it, and the whole structure will come down, to wit, Sodom and Gomorrah and Greece and Rome and elsewhere.
You know, lest people think that you're angry, that's not anger, it's passion. This is the foundation on which civilization was built. You take it away, everything else crumbles. The first institution instituted by God is marriage. I'm not mad about it, but I'm concerned. I'm passionate. I care about my son. I care about my country. I care about my family. That's what you hear in our voices.
And, Ryan, it's not hate.
No.
I get accused of being hateful.
No.
I haven't said anything hateful today. I haven't attacked anybody. I'm telling you that there is an agenda here that's dangerous, mm-hmm. not only to adults who are thinking about getting married and to the future,
sure.
but it's highly relevant to our children who are being told things that will hurt them and will be injurious to the culture that they live in.
Listen, I don't want 5-year-olds being told anything about any adult relationships.
Right, right.
And just look back at what we've said. You've not been disrespectful, disparaging, or mean in anything you've said.
But it's not hate.
Yeah.
It is scriptural principle.
Mm-hmm.
It is what's best for mankind, which is why in the second chapter of Genesis, the Lord provided that
That's
prescription.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's there.
And our country allows for that. We can believe different things philosophically, politically, theologically. You're not hating people or putting them down. We have a disagreement with people, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's called pluralism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a democracy, you have people who believe all kinds of things, and they're entitled to do that. The Constitution grants all of us that right. It grants the homosexual activist the right to get out there and make his case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't oppose him doing that.
No.
I just don't want political correctness to completely stifle the other point of view, which we're here to present. And I don't really like being called hateful when I exercise that right.
What I hear you saying, Doctor, is I'm hearing it through my mom's ears here, and we need to be intentional, because I could be overwhelmed hearing you talk about all of the court cases. And yet what I'm realizing is I've got little people in my house right now that God has put there. Nowhere else. He's put them in my home, and I cannot be passive about that. And when my son sees a bumper sticker or hears a thought, that is an invitation for me as a God-fearing wife to uphold the institution of marriage and breathe that kind of life into my own children.
That's exactly it. And I want to turn the corner here. We've been promising to get to the principles and the fundamentals, and we're going to do that. But I need to leave this section and this thought with a scripture that I have never heard a sermon about. I'm sure they've been given, but I've never heard one. And it's in the second chapter of Malachi. It's the portion of the Bible that we are left with in the Old Testament before 400 years go by and the birth of Christ. And what's he talking about? He's talking about family again. And listen to this. This is Malachi 2:13. This is good. Pay attention, folks. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears, and you weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. We're talking love for a lifetime here. And then he explains why he created marriage. Have you ever noticed this? He tells us the reason marriage was created. Has not the Lord made them, husbands and wives, one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Why did he create marriage? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. He created families to create godly children. That's what he wants from us. And that's why you come to terms with the wind, as I said in the last broadcast. You take circumstances as they are, and you keep those kids in mind because they are your ultimate priority, says the Lord.
Well, what you're describing there, Doctor, what you're laying out is so much more solemn, so much more sobering than we seem to take marriage as a society. And I can't help but think that right now, listening is someone who has been convicted. They've taken it rather lightly. They are on the verge of tossing it away. The Lord brought them here for this time to hear your words.
And that's why you wrote Love for a Lifetime, for the people right now that think, hey, have I taken it too lightly? You know, for them, how do we come to terms with the wind? Let's get down to that ground level.
Right. Is it too late?
Yeah. And let me say one more time, we're not condemning those that are in troubled marriages. I don't think there's anything more stressful in life, including life-threatening illness. I don't know anything much worse than to have thought you'd found the love for your lifetime and you invested everything you have emotionally in them. And it turns out that there are problems there you cannot deal with and cannot ignore. My heart goes out to those folks. And for us to sit here and wag our finger at them like it's some minor thing, please, folks, do not take our comments as being casual. But we are saying that the Lord can help you deal with those problems. And before you bail out on it, be sure that he doesn't have an answer for you. And that does, Ryan, bring us back to our theme, which is lifelong marriage, marriage, love for a lifetime. We have to study what makes it work. How can it be shaped to provide the satisfaction that it advertises? You know, what are the principles that give it stability and substance and joy? That's the topic of my book, and it's time we talked about it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the joy.
Okay.
Well, Doctor, there is a chapter in Love for a Lifetime called Fundamentals of Christian Marriage, and I think that's a good place to start.
Yes, and it refers to the panel of 600.
Which is a little curious to
it
us.
Is. I've got
is it
to
like
explain
the movie it. The 300?
It goes back a number of years when I did a survey where I asked people who had successful marriages to tell us how they did it. We might as well look at the experts, at the people who were able to accomplish it. I didn't say perfect marriages again, but these were people who were very happy, very satisfied in their marital relationship. And there were 600 of them that replied. And we studied those 600 letters. I had a very intelligent woman working with me at that time named Joanne Letherer. Do you remember
her? I do remember
her. And she went through these letters with a fine-tooth comb. And she pulled out the common themes that were there. And she found out that these 600 people typically said one of three things. And three pieces of advice, three things that had meant a lot to them, three things that made their marriages work. And we're going to tell our listeners what those three things are. It's not new information, as you would expect, if a random or almost random 600 people came to the same themes. But we need to be reminded of them.
And we only have a few minutes left, I think, Doctor, on this Family Talk broadcast.
We always are going to have trouble running out of time because we got three talkers here, especially me. But I think we can cover this point. Let's get to it. We've got a few minutes left.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You know, Dad, in the book, in this panel of 600, these people have been married 20, 30, 40 years or longer. So when you talk about successful marriages, especially in this day and age, a 20-year marriage is very, very unique, let alone 30, 40, or in your and mom's case, even 50.
Yeah, you learn something in five decades like that. You know, what we're going to give you now are what I consider to be the basics, basic information. If you were learning to play baseball or football or tennis, you would start with the fundamentals. The coach would not take you into the intricacies of the game in the beginning. He'd start with fundamentals. They talk about it all the time. Pro football camps. These people have played football all their lives. Go back to the fundamentals, blocking and tackling. So that's one of the reasons that Coach Wooden, John Wooden at UCLA, was such a great basketball coach. It's because his players knew the fundamentals inside and out. And that's what our panel of 600 gave us. They gave us the experience of all their years and provided the fundamentals of marriage for us. And it came down to three C's. You've heard them before. This is not brand new, but we need to go back to blocking and tackling.
Okay, so what was at the top of that list?
Above everything else was a Christ-centered home. You know, if a young husband and wife are deeply committed to Jesus Christ, they enjoy enormous advantages over the family that has no spiritual dimension. And that certainly has been a key to my relationship with Shirley. We have taken our prayer life very, very seriously. In fact, this communication between a man and woman and God has been the stabilizing factor through our 50 years of married life. In good times, in hard times, in moments of anxiety, in periods of praise, we have shared this wonderful privilege of talking directly to the Heavenly Father. And I would like you all to comment on this because this is an incredible concept. The Lord Himself, the Creator, the Almighty, through Jesus Christ, made everything that there is, all of the galaxies, the far reaches of the universe, the intelligence that's there that we still cannot comprehend, is willing to listen when we talk. You don't have to talk to an administrative assistant to get an appointment. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to go to his office. You can bow your head and talk to him, and he is listening to you at any moment. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, he's made it clear that he loves us and cares for us and even died for us. I don't understand that. Why would he care? In fact, David said, "What is man that thou art even mindful of him?" Mm-hmm. Job said the same thing. And I can't answer that question.
Well, you know, you and Mom started that process years and years. In fact, long before I was born, and you still continue it today. You both get on your knees at the side of your bed every single night and pray for Danae and myself and now Laura and Lincoln. And I remember in high school coming home late, wondering if you were still awake, tiptoeing past your bedroom to see if you were asleep or not, and seeing you and Mom on your knees and hearing you pray for Danae and I. And that let me know throughout my life, no matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, what my situation is, what the surrounding scenario is, someone is out there calling on my behalf to the Lord God. That's changed me over time.
Isn't that strange, Ryan? Because I didn't know it had that kind of impact on you.
It did.
You looked in the door and then you went to bed.
Yeah.
And yet that was communicating to you. Yeah.
And Doctor, even as a parent, I can't tell you what it means to me when our family is praying at the end of the day to hear my children praying for me.
Yes.
That just grips me. When I hear my 12-year-old or my 16-year-old calling out to the Lord on behalf of me, that just sends chills through me.
Yeah. You know, Lincoln had a bad dream a couple weeks ago, and he was crying. I could tell it wasn't, I'm hungry or, you know, tend to something else. And I went in there, and I said, baby boy, it's okay. It's okay. And he kind of woke up a little bit. He looked at me and goes, Dada, we pray now. And I just thought,
He's getting it.
That is all I want. In your times of trouble and need, the first thing you think of is calling out to the Lord, you win.
Yes.
You know, I wish we had time to talk more about this particular point because I have in the past in our film series, Ryan, that you and I are going to re-release, talked about fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a tough time to raise kids. Mm-hmm. Adolescents are under enormous pressure, and you need all the help you can get from the Lord. Mm-hmm. In my book, Love for a Lifetime, I told a story that I can only outline here, but Shirley and I forgot to pray one night. And we were almost asleep, and we were very tired. And she said to me, we haven't prayed yet. Mm. And it was hard getting out of that warm bed and getting on our knees and praying for you, Ryan and Danae. And we prayed for their safety. Danae had the car. She was out there at 17 years of age, and that's always scary. Mm. And we found out later that she and a friend had stopped to buy a hamburger, and they were sitting in a parked car eating it, these two girls, and they saw cops coming by with lights shining, and obviously they were looking for somebody. That somebody was under their car, and when the cops left, the man got out from under the car, a very hairy guy with little John Lennon glasses, and he tried to open the door, and it was locked, and they started the car and got home. We checked the time, and we were praying when that kid was sitting out there with her girlfriend.
Whoa.
And this guy was trying to get in their car.
I didn't know. I only knew half that story. Yeah. I only knew that she and her friend were sitting there and a guy crawled up from under the car. I didn't know that you had actually gotten out of bed to pray at that point.
We made a specific effort to pray that night. And the Lord heard that prayer. Mm-hmm. That's happened so many times.
Mm-hmm. And, that's just the one you know about. Imagine all of the ones you don't see.
Who knows what God has spared all of us from.
Doctor, now we've done it. I mean, we really are out of time. Give us the last two very quickly before we go.
It's a shame. This is good stuff.
It is. But they are in Love for a Lifetime. We have that book. You can get information at our website, myfamilytalk.com.
That's a nice promo.
Thank you. Finish us out.
Okay. The other two are Committed Love. In other words, it isn't going to work if you're not determined to make it work. It won't survive. If you get married thinking, we'll stay married as long as I love you or as long as we're comfortable with each other, it's over. You've got to be determined and you've got to be committed. And the third is communication. Mm-hmm. A lot has been written about that. There's nothing new, perhaps, that has not been said. But it was one of the three C's that our panel of 600 identified as a reason for their success. And in the book, I talk about why. And I think it's well worth reading.
And you can read more about those last two C's in Dr. Dobson's book, Love for a Lifetime. Of course, we have that available here, Ryan,
That's
at Family
right.
Talk. Anybody who'd like a copy, just give us a call, 877-732-6825. And Ryan, of course, we have other special resources here in this month of September.
We do. This month, we're celebrating my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. I still can't get over that.
That's pretty
50
neat.
50 years of marriage. And to commemorate this time in their lives, we're offering a special edition copy of the devotional my parents wrote together called Nightlight, which for a donation of $50 to the ministry, they'll sign for you.
And we have a complimentary edition of a 50th anniversary magazine full of Dobson family photos. You seen any of those, Ryan?
I have, Luann. To see a photo journal of 50 years of love and devotion and stories together will really touch some people's hearts.
It is a precious way to honor your parents, Ryan. We can send that to anyone. It's completely complimentary. Again, ask for any of these resources, the book Love for a Lifetime, the Nightlight Devotional, or that special 50th wedding anniversary magazine when you call. Our number, 877-732-6825.
And be with us next time as we finish our discussion on my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime.